Kevin, I have to say, in the broad scheme of things, this is just a drop in the bucket. I mean, it's actually not a particularly big issue. He's paying $17.25 a pop versus all those $5 a pop options before day before the flow. I'm a bit confused about the fuss, but look, I would like to know when does the clock start ticking? Like, is the $17.25, is that the base price in measuring the performance, or is it the, you know, moving average, etc.?
$17.25.
Right, okay. So he's got a little bit of an advantage on the starting point for the performance hurdles. But look, at least he has got some performance hurdles. So, look, I haven't got any particular problem with this, but I guess what is interesting is that I gather one of the proxy advisory firms, who are the real kingmakers in the current sort of AGM environment, have had a bit of a go at this resolution. So what will be interesting is whether they've got anywhere near knocking it over in terms of what the proxies are. And my question, therefore, is how broad is the exclusion? This is the first resolution where some shareholders are conflicted out and can't vote, and that includes everyone up here on the head table. So it's a bit ambiguous as to whether other senior managers, you know, who might have a million or two shares, can vote. So how broad is the exclusion on this resolution in terms of who can't vote versus what we've seen with the 110 million proxies that we've averaged on the previous resolutions?
Sorry, I'm just getting my legal advisor here. It's a bit technical. So the people who are excluded are the people on the top table here, plus the trustees of the Babcock and Brown, the trustees of the share trust. So if you're asking, can other executives in the room, who are not members of the board, vote? The answer is yes, they can vote.